getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Following the success of Amidst Fiery Skies, the Willows have stepped back from performing for a few months. So when I caught up with Ben and Jade at Red Velvet on Saturday, it was following a relatively rare appearance.
You were saying that you'd taken a break from performing for a few months. Why is that?
Well, our second album came out in September and we toured right through till November. And so, yeah, we don't have another tour booked for us until May. So this is, I think this is one of the only, I think, two times we're playing in the gap, and while we start to write our next one, yeah.
You just start to think about sort of what's going to go on the album. Do you feel that maybe your style might change because of the relative acclaim that you've had over the past few months, particularly with that new album?
I think we always just, you know, there's different writers in the band and we just write what we write, and then it sort of comes together and we work on stuff, and some stuff kind of we think works as the Willows, and some, you know, you bring a song to the band and you think actually it's not quite right for the Willows. So I think we're developing our sound. I think we've introduced new instruments, which has changed, you know, it's definitely on the last album. We're really enjoying just working on new material, and I think it's nice sometimes when you're gigging a lot and you're making a record and you're touring a lot, it's actually quite nice to have a bit of a break that allow you just to write.
You feel you need that sort of period of reflection, if you like, without the day-to-day hurly-burly of the tour schedule.
I think it just worked out at the end of the last album, because we've been together coming up to 5 years now in the spring, so it's been quite full-on in terms, you know, I don't think we've had this bigger gap.
No, I think we're probably a month or two more than usual, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been different, hasn't it, this time, because Evan, our Baron player, joined the band midway through the second album, or just as we started to track it, but we'd written most of it. Yeah, we'd written quite a lot of it by the time Evan joined the band, so this is the first time we're doing right from seedling of songwriting with Evan, which is great, because it gives a bit of a blank canvas for the whole band then for writing, which is exciting for us. You know, it's kind of a new thing to add without even trying.
And tell us more about the new instruments which have come on board.
Yeah, Evan was a Baron player when we first saw him. I saw him playing with Sam Kelly, who he still plays with, a couple of years ago, and I enjoyed his playing. And so I think with all of us, we're never going to force each other to play certain instruments if that's what you're good at. And so, you know, I know Evan's still taken on loads of the kit parts as well. I mean, he's an amazing percussionist, you know, he kind of does the lot. So
did you consciously think about the instruments that you wanted to add and bring on? Mumford & Sons on their new album, they've gone the other way. They've kind of taking stuff out. Less fiddle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't tell our fiddle player that. That won't go down very well. And I don't think so. I think Cliff has played more banjo since the Willows and I've played more dobro, but I don't think it was a specific move for the band's sake. It's just, I think musicians pick up things over time, don't they? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jade started singing Unaccompanied to Shruti Box a lot, and so that's in the band now as well. And I think that's a musician thing. I think people generally pick up stuff and then want to use it, you know, if it's all right.
And what happens to those songs which you write, which you discover and think, oh, that's not for the Willows? Are they for solo projects, or do you sing them else?
For solo projects and or for projects you're doing with other people. But yeah, we sort of, I'm quite good at knowing, actually. I mean, a lot of time me and Ben write quite miserable songs, really. So, and we both think, actually, oh no, it's really miserable. Ben says, I can't make Jade sing that.
It's true, it happens.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
the miserable songs are good. Morrissey's made a whole career of it.
Oh, exactly. But there's miserable and there's miserable. I think you have to balance it out.
We're still playing the pub enough to be able to get things out if we don't sing it for each other, you know. So,
so you think that there's a particular place which you could sing songs, say in a pub, that you wouldn't necessarily be singing on stage at a larger gig somewhere else?
Well, Dave sings a lot of our lead vocals, so obviously if one of the rest of us has written some things, it needs. It can't ever be a song that a singer can't take on, I guess. Jade.
What's the schedule then for the next few months? The album, the writing is starting now. What's happening?
Well, we're writing new material, and we've got a tour beginning the end of April and over May, and then we've got summer festivals, and then we've we'll be touring in the autumn. So, you know, it's just kind of like a slight pause between the last album, just give us a little bit of time, which is great. We're really enjoying just meeting up and writing. It's lovely.
Dim down and the candles flee the faster in colder night time to spend a moment thinking of a loved one who's to your mind now. You can't stop as your friend.
Time again to dip into the Red Velvet Music Marathon. It took place at the Golden Hind on Milton Road, isn't it, on Saturday and Sunday. It's all in aid of the Arthur Rank Hospice. And one of the artists playing and performing was Jackson Creek. There's a country feel to the Jackson Creek Band, relatively new on the scene, but they play regularly at the Golden Hind and the Elm Tree. I spoke to Helene, Ken and to Ben.
It may be a weekend of folk, but there's a lot of country influence in what you're doing. And I'm kind of wondering where country music stops and folk music starts.
Well, it depends on which side of the Atlantic you're on. So country music and folk music, more or less...
They merge into one in the States, really.
I think they do, yeah. You do have little enclaves of Celtic and English folk music, but for the most part, you know, country music is the folk music of the United States.
And did you first start performing in the U.S. yourself?
Yes, I did.
Now, whereabouts?
I'm from the New England area.
Right.
But I did live in the South, so I did pick up a bit of a twang.
Okay.
Which
comes and how long have you been over here now?
Oh, about 20 years now.
Okay, you've still got the accent. It's still in there. And your colleagues, how did you join up?
I saw these two playing as a duo, in fact, in this very venue. And a few weeks later, when it was contacted somehow through a mutual friend.
I called you in the bath, is what happened.
Oh, yeah, you called me in the bath, that was it. We often chat in the bath and booked together.
No,
it's on the phone. So.
It's dangerous, still dangerous to drop the phone, I guess.
Yeah, well, I've done it a few times, but the iPhone is quite good, actually. I've dropped one in the bath twice and it survived both times. So.
Waterboarding of iPhones.
That's how I kind of joined.
Okay, yeah. And how long ago was that?
It's about 18 months ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but they've been together a bit longer.
Right, so the band is relatively new, but the two of you have played together.
Yeah, Helene and I played for about a year and a half, I guess, something like that, before Ken joined, but this is a different band now. It's
How do the styles differ? Because I guess if different people come together, they'll all have different musical influences.
There is that, but mostly with Ken, it's the fact that he brings not just the bass, but also the vocals with him. So we can now work on three-part harmonies and do much more rhythmic stuff.
Yeah,
than we could.
I guess when you've that just got a whole different complexion to it.
You've got more to play with. Exactly right. So you can even as a case. You've just got much more to play with. Mm. And I personally, I'm into three-part harmonies, so that's we do quite a bit of that. Yeah. So
and when you do something, you're doing a mix there of covers and original material.
Yeah.
Do you like when you're performing somebody else's work to play around with it a little bit, or do you prefer to do it straight?
No, absolutely. Well, we'll have a look at it. We did a Monkees tune today, which was Monkees, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a Believer, which you wouldn't automatically think of as a country song, but I think we've countrified it to an extent, yeah. Absolutely play around with them. Sometimes the song's just so simple you just want to leave it as it is, but by and large, no, we'll have a play with it, yeah.
And how far do you go with your performance, geographically, that is?
Oh, we've been to London. Where else have we been?
Northampton area.
Northampton.
Yeah, we've been Northampton.
All over the shop.
We've got some over in Norfolk, haven't we, coming up?
Yeah. Going to be branching out as far as the dolly mobile can take us. Because
the dolly mobile, I like that.
Yes, we need to rely on a vehicle.
I have a double bass up there as well, which is called Dolly as well.
Name,
it's a popular name in country circles.
Yeah.
I can't think why. Website, Facebook, how do people find out?
We have a website, jacksoncreekband.com. You can look for our dates online and come and see us.
Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw his face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. 'Cause I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave him if I tried. I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw his face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. 'Cause I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave if I tried. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw his face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. 'Cause I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave him if I tried. Yes, I saw his face. Now I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer.
I knew from the start that Jackson Creek were country, because when Helene came on stage, she had kind of silvery, sparkly stuff sewn into her jeans. Anyway, that's the Jackson Creek Band. Thank you very much to them. Also spoke to John Bettmead and Tom Ling. They've been performing for close, wait for it, to 50 years. They were first on stage on Saturday afternoon, and I spoke to them shortly afterwards.
John, Tom, how long have you actually, first of all, been performing at all? When did you first start?
Oh, well, I'm John. I've been performing since about 1968, or even before that.
I'm a young whippersnapper. My first gig in Cambridge was in the autumn of 1974.
Right. And when did you first get together as the double act?
Well, I avoided John for many years. As the unacceptable face of folk music. And that's not true. It'd be 20 years ago that we started playing. And I think it was more in a kind of friendly, just house environment. We were both...
We met at a party.
I think we did.
Actually?
Yeah.
And then from then on, we sort of started to play together.
Is folk music one of these things that seems to be very much a family and everybody, more so than other forms of music, seems to know each other?
They certainly do. And it doesn't matter what you play or sing either. Especially in a folk club, people will listen to almost anything as long as it's reasonably good.
And John taught both of my daughters to play and sing, and I now gig with Anna as well, my daughter.
Oh, really? OK.
It is literally, yes, a kind of family thing.
Yeah. I hear a Scottish accent still very much in there.
I've been here since 74.
Right, so when you first started playing in Cambridge?
At the Portland Arms.
Right.
I remember it very well.
How has the Cambridge folk scene in particular changed since that time?
Well, John would have a good view of this, but for me, it's shifted. It's become more Irish, actually. There's a lot of Irish, really brilliant Irish players. There's a surprising dearth of Scots and Shetland interest, perhaps, and I'd like to see more positive English, you know, like taking the English tradition and really using that. You don't see that very often.
I guess you have contemporary acts, sometimes they say, like the Broadside Boys, for example, who weave in stories of Suffolk. And
yes, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you were gigging with a couple of weeks ago. Who were you playing
with? Martin Carthy. Over at the St Neots Folk Club.
Right. And that is...
he's an institution.
A great exponent of English music.
Yeah.
And we need more of that, I think.
Yeah.
And for you, how have things changed since you started performing back in 68?
Folk clubs have always had this kind of eclectic appeal to people. I said you can play in it. I don't really do folk music much at all. Well, I have since I met Tom. We do all sorts of stuff, but I sing anything, really, as long as it appeals to me. African, French, anything I like.
Do you speak French? You were singing very well.
Not really. No, well, do you want to try me?
No, thank you.
No, French isn't wonderful.
I thought you did quite a good job of it on
my
the song.
My accent's brilliant, but the language is rubbish.
That's the musical ear, you see.
It's always an acting job. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
A pleasure.